It's funny, before I was sitting in here a bit earlier and Jody came in and he was going to, and knew he was going to do an introduction, and he came up to me and said, is there anything you'd like me to say? And I said, look, just say lots of lovely things about me. And he did. So thank you very much, very generous. So I find it helps me if I just fess up at the start that I'm really nervous. But just looking around a room at very lovely and friendly faces, I'm sure that will calm down. And in fact, it's such a joyous occasion that, you know, we're gathered here to celebrate today. So we're celebrating the Sangha Jewel, as Ratnakirti said. So everyone who's become enlightened, all that wisdom and compassion that's out there available for us, that we can draw on, the inspiration that we get from enlightened humans, enlightened beings, knowing that we too can become like them. So we're celebrating Sangha, and we're celebrating community, and we're celebrating friendship, because there's no community, there's no Sangha without friendship. And so the most appropriate place to start when thinking about friendship and responding with our heart to friendship is with the Buddha, Shakyamuni. And in the suttas, the Buddha is described as the good friend. He described himself as the good friend to humanity because he dedicated his life to... well, first of all, he went in quest of the truth because he saw this endless round of suffering that sentient beings are caught up in. And there was this absolutely determined, altruistic urge within him to find the truth, to find the solution to that. And ultimately, of course, he did. So sitting under the Bodhi tree at Bodh Gaya in northern India, he did see through into that cycle of suffering, and he saw the cause of it, which is so simple, really. Our own self-clinging, our own craving for being me and I, a separate self. And everything just spins out of that, keeps going round and round. And then for the rest of his life, for like about the next 45 years, out of his compassion, he just traipsed all over the northern part of India and just sharing what he saw for himself with anybody who wanted to hear it, and saying, encouraging us all to say, yes, you too can see this. You too can let go of that self-clinging. So what better friend could we have, in fact, than the Buddha? And at the start of my meditation, almost invariably, it starts with me coming into the presence of the Buddha, Shakyamuni, under the Bodhi tree. And I just sit there quietly in front of him and connect with that love and compassion that's just constantly flowing. With the wisdom that he embodies, and the stillness that's there with that. And I just allow that to pour over me. I just allow myself to open my heart to that as much as I possibly can, and just allow those grace waves of the Buddha to fill me and to affect me. Yeah, that's the starting point for thinking about friendship and Sangha and community. So the Buddha exemplifies unlimited and unconditional love. And that, of course, is also the qualities of all enlightened beings, is unconditional, unlimited love. But here, in the everyday, our Sangha, our community, we can actually emulate that. We can take inspiration from that. And that's the process of transforming ourselves and the world by actually working on our capacity for love and making it unlimited, making it unconditional. So, we can think of our community or as Sangha, as this network of friendships. And of course that means, well, so building community, building Sangha means learning to be a friend. And I'll be talking about that a bit more as I go through. But what is it that's so important and so central to Buddhism about friendship? I think many of us will know that the Buddha, it's quite a famous quote that the Buddha has explained that friendship is the whole of the spiritual life. And it's lovely to think that actually that communication happened in the context of a close friendship. The Buddha's cousin and his friend, Ananda, who was also his personal assistant for about 25 years of his life, he came to his friend the Buddha and his teacher the Buddha one day with this sort of, to share this light bulb moment that he'd had, and where he'd realised that spiritual friendship is half the spiritual life. Like if we can cultivate friendship with good-hearted people, then, we're halfway there. And the Buddha, sort of paraphrasing, said, well, you're half right, Ananda. Well, actually, spiritual friendship is the whole of the spiritual life. And isn't that intriguing? Isn't that quite an amazing statement to make? And what do we make of it? You know, what does that mean? So what is spiritual friendship? That's the phrase that's used in, so often we'll talk about Kalyana Mitrata, and there's no perfect translation of it in English, although Mitrata is straightforward, it's friendship. And Kalyana is can mean beautiful or virtuous or good or lovely. So I can't beat Subhuti's definition of Kalyana Mitrata, so I'll just read you that. So Kalyana literally means beautiful, but it usually refers to a spiritual beauty that pleases the heart and mind rather than the senses. It can also be rendered as lovely or virtuous. So a friendship that is Kalyana is therefore lovely, not just because it is pleasant or warm, but because it is based on a shared orientation to what is ultimately beautiful, the transcendental reality known to the enlightened mind. Likewise, a Kalyana Mitra is a good friend, not only in the sense of someone known intimately and trusted without reservation, but more fundamentally, a friend who is a good person, endowed with beautiful ethical and spiritual qualities. So why and how is Kalyana Mitrata, or spiritual friendship, the whole of the spiritual life? And that begs the question, what's the spiritual life? So if we take the spiritual life to be the way of life that leads to enlightenment, or a life dedicated to eradicating the unhelpful, the unskillful, the unwholesome mental states of greed and craving and delusion, and in their place cultivating the wholesome and helpful, skillful mental states of contentment, love and wisdom. So these qualities of the enlightened heart and mind, the liberated heart and mind. So in short, we could say that leading a spiritual life is leading a life that leads from selfishness to selflessness. But how do we go about that? How do we bridge that gap between sort of that concept of no self, this idea, even an ideal of no self, and actually making it real and actually turning that into selflessness? And it's in the context of our friendships that we do it. And that's why spiritual friendship is so profoundly significant, or the whole of the spiritual life. So it's within our friendships that it's easier for us to learn to go beyond ourselves, to go beyond our own self-interest, and to start to loosen that tenacious grip that we have on self-clinging, on self-preservation, where we're the centre of everything. It's within that context that we can start to break down that illusion of a self. It's because of our love for our good friend that it makes it possible for us to start to put their benefit ahead of our own interests. When I first said that I'd be happy to give a talk on Sangha Day, I was thinking about this amazing essay by Sangharakshita called The Good Friend. And every time I've read it, and I've read it many times, I just feel so inspired by it. It's really quite a luminous evocation of friendship and how ordinary human friendships can just be transformed into this, you know, into the enlightened friendship. So I'll probably give a couple of quotes from Sangharakshita. So this one is, behind every manifestation of friendship, of maitri, which is the word for love in Sanskrit, behind every manifestation of friendship, of maitri, from the lowest to the highest, lies, as the heartbeat behind the rhythm of the pulses, the central psychological fact of the more or less radical denial of the selfish individual will. And it is due to the presence of this partial negation of selfhood, of the joyous merging of one's own being in the being of another, that friendship and its kindred emotions are so richly endowed with potentialities for spiritual development. So through our relation of friendship, we can find the emotional equivalent of our intellectual understanding of no self. And of course, as we know, when our emotions are engaged, then that's when we're able to stick with things. That's when we're able to make progress. That's when things get real and not just in our heads. That's how we start to actually live our lives differently and transform. So how would we lead the spiritual life without our spiritual friends? And I think that's a really important question to ponder on from time to time. And I know for myself that I couldn't. And looking back, you know, over my life, from the time that I first came in contact with Buddhism, it's been a gradual process of making spiritual friends and even understanding in what that consists. And there's so many there's countless instances of where people have been friends to me over the years, and which has made all the difference to me being able to continue on the path. I remember a time on a retreat early on when Vasantra was visiting Sydney. Some of you will have had the good fortune to meet Vasantra. His name means universe within, and that universe is made up completely of love, in my experience. He's an extraordinary man. And on this retreat, I was sort of very much in the grip of the black dog and feeling very low and being very hard on myself. And Vasantra just saw me sitting on my own at one point and just came over and sat down with me and talked to me for a while. It wasn't long, maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes or something. But it was just the care, his awareness of me and seeing me suffering and then responding very naturally to that. And that's just one example. And then I've had the benefit of exemplification. So for example, from my Kalyana Mitras. So we in this Buddhist movement sometimes formalise our Kalyana good friend relationships through a very beautiful ceremony. So Kshitaprapa and Magar are my Kalyana Mitras. And I mean, there's countless ways that they've encouraged me in my practice. But I think the best thing that they've given me is just their example over the years, their example of their own dedication to practice and to going beyond themselves. I just see them over and over and over going beyond themselves and being aware of the needs of others, being prepared to put others' needs ahead of their own. So I'm blessed by those examples, and that encourages me to try and emulate them. So within friendship, we can identify that there's what we could think of as vertical friendship and horizontal friendship. So, you know, in vertical friendship, that's the friends who exemplify spiritual qualities, which I just mentioned. And the boon of our vertical friends, so these are people who we can recognise have progressed further than us. They're further down the path. They've embodied those spiritual qualities of contentment and love and wisdom more wholly than I have yet. So we can, first of all, we can recognise those qualities of someone who's more developed than I am. And then that recognition can lead to appreciation, and it can lead to receptivity. So having seen their fine qualities, their beauty, their spiritual beauty, we can quite consciously make ourselves more receptive to that and more receptive to their influence. And then from that receptivity, gratitude arises, and we just see what we gain from having them in our lives, and so we're very grateful for that. And then out of gratitude arises responsiveness. So we respond, we try to emulate our good friend, we try to become more like them, to develop their qualities. And so something that I have taken on in my spiritual practice, not invariably successfully, but it is something that I consciously try to do, and that is when a spiritual friend who I look up to, who I respect, asks me to do something, asks me to take on something, then my spiritual discipline is to say yes. Even if that's going to be like, that's going to really stretch me, just personally, spiritually, it's going to make me anxious, it's going to like make me squirm. So I try to say yes. Like it might even be something as simple as asking me to give a talk. This time I volunteered. See, it's working. So yeah, we can respond to the example of our good friends who are further down the path than us. And then there's our horizontal or peer friendships. Gosh, what can we get from those? What's in it for us? I mean, what can we say about our friendships, our friends? They're precious to us, aren't they? There's so much that we can get from friendship. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was just the ability to reveal myself, to have someone who I can trust enough to be vulnerable with and to be completely myself. Someone that I can share things with, that I can disclose, that I can unburden myself with, that I can confess to when I make mistakes and I let myself down and I let my friends down. Having someone to delight in, for heaven's sakes, because here's this good friend with all their own individual, extraordinarily beautiful and unique qualities, and it's so wonderful to be able to rejoice in that and delight in them and just love being around them. someone I can rely on for help when I need help. And that could just range from big help to just really little things, but that make a difference. And someone who sees us as fully as possible and encourages the best in us. So growing Sangha and growing friendship, I mean, how does it happen? So, yeah, I think we all can recognise and know from our experience the benefits of friendship and the beauty of friendship. But how does it happen? And I think particularly in the spiritual community, in a Sangha, it's really important to realise that it's not just limited to those spontaneous natural attractions. So I know throughout my life, until I got involved in Buddhism, my friends were the people that I was naturally drawn to, that I had a spontaneous resonance with. And indeed, I am still dear friends with my friend Sarah, who, and we became friends playing in the playground together when we were 5 years old. And she now lives in Erskineville, and we see each other a lot. And I must say that she's not a Buddhist, although she's got her own very fine spiritual and ethical practice. In fact, I look up to her in terms of her ethics. But I must say that since I've been practicing, our friendship's got a lot better. It's not nearly so selfish on my part. But we would be limiting ourselves and not emulating the good friend, the Buddha, if we didn't try and expand our circle of friendships and our ability to contemplate the possibility of being friends with anybody and everyone. So when I started to be part of the Sangha here and start to get to know people, I did start forming friendships, and to my mind they were unlikely friendships. Now, to put it crudely, these were people that I probably wouldn't have crossed the street to spend time with in an earlier lifetime, you know. But I've realised that the amazing depths that it's possible to go to with anybody, that it's not I don't have to be limited in who I can befriend and who I can deepen friendships with. So we can, expand our heart and practice getting to know deeply and seeing the values of all sorts of people, the people that we might not naturally be drawn to. But, there's a really beautiful quote from Sankaracharya, who founded our order and movement, about his belief in the possibility of being a friend to everybody, anybody. And we'll be reading that at the start of the puja later. So the other aspect about friendship is that it's intentional, and it has to be intentional. It's not going to just happen by itself. It has to be, you have to want to form the friendship. You want to have to want to come into that sort of relationship with this other person. So it requires all the things that are involved in deepening friendship. It involves an investment of time, investment of energy, a willingness to reveal oneself, a willingness to go out to others, a willingness to put aside your own interests and give preference, put aside your own preferences just once, one time at a time. For the sake of your friend, being prepared to look deeper into the deeper values and qualities of other people, and being prepared to see their best. So this for me also, this sort of sense that, well, actually, I can deliberately go out to cultivate a friendship. This was a complete revelation to me as well. Like it's an extension of this thing about, oh, I'm just friends with the people I'm friends with, you know, who like me, I like them, we've got things in common, there's this natural attraction or whatever. And it was actually, I can remember there was a very pivotal time for me when I actually realised the importance of actually intentionally creating friendships. So I live with my partner Virija, and about 17 years ago, Virija went off to be ordained on a 4-month retreat in Spain, and he was going to be away for 5 months all up, and we'd never been apart for that long by any stretch, and we'd been together for at that stage about more than 20 years, I think. And I remember we were living in the Blue Mountains, and we drove down to the airport, and there were a group of people who gathered at the airport to see Virija off, and we waved him through the weeping wall and the departure gates, and I was weeping, and and then I drove home to the Blue Mountains, and I opened the front door of the house, and there was Virija's shoes that he'd left in the front room of the house, just inside the door, and I saw them, and my heart just sort of died, and because it felt like he'd died, because I was going into this empty house and his empty shoes were there. And I felt bereft. And I sat with that feeling for a long time, over some days. And then at some point, what I realised was that I was bereft because Virija was the only person that I had allowed to know me so well, so intimately. He was the only person who I had allowed them to know me fully and that I could be completely myself with. And then he wasn't there. So what was I to do? It's really not a good idea to put all your eggs into the one basket. So then I came up with a strategy. I thought, I am going to reveal, make myself known to at least one or two other people. And this wasn't easy for me because I didn't want people to know me completely because there's all the bad bits. I didn't want to reveal myself. But I knew that I didn't want this pain, and I knew intuitively that this was the path to growing spiritually. I needed to make friends in that truest sense. And so I chose two people. And that was Pat Marlia and Shubha Viewer, although we weren't all ordained at that point. And we were already leading the women's Dharma classes together. And so I thought, I'm just going to build on that and deepen those friendships. And I did, and we did, and we became extraordinarily good, close friends. And in the event, we all went off to Tuscany and spent a 7-week retreat in this old Franciscan ruined monastery being ordained together. And those connections just continue. Yeah, and so other ways of building friendship is about nurturing friendships, maintaining friendships, looking after our friendships. So just learning to live with awareness of others, to be considerate, to be kind, ethical, unselfish with our friends and with others. Because our friends, of course, is just it's the working ground which allows us then to take all these things, these qualities out towards others. Letting go of hurt and resentment, learning to forgive, learning to acknowledge our own faults, hanging in there with each other, not walking away, and taking responsibility for creating community, for creating Sangha. So that involves us working on ourselves and not expecting other people to do it. So when things go wrong, okay, it's them. They're not really working on themselves hard enough. No. And being aware of the effect that our mental states and actions have on our friends and have on the Sangha. So it's an ongoing work of, working on our own mental states, working on cultivating more and more positive states, maintaining those positive states, eliminating negative mental states when they arise, and doing what we can to prevent them arising in the first place. So it's within our friendships that pushes us to actually purify our hearts and minds, because we're purifying them of self-clinging, all those, that craving, the aversion, the delusion. So it's really a process of mutual self-transcendence within Kalyana Mitrata and mutually giving ourselves to a shared ideal. So it's a path of selflessness, and there's a beautiful phrase from Maitreya Bandhu in this fantastic book called Thicker Than Blood. Really recommend it, where he says the heartbeat of friendship is the heartbeat of altruism. Blow my nose, excuse me. So he's talking about how how ordinary friendship is and can be, because it's made up of just those ordinary everyday acts, isn't it? Those small kindnesses, those small expressions of that, I'm thinking of you. And yet there's something quite potent and magical about that ordinariness. So friendship is a simple thing. In the Zen tradition, there is a saying that first of all, mountains are mountains, then they are anything but mountains, then the mountains are mountains again. Friendship is like that. At first, friendship is just friendship, an ordinary thing, something you hardly notice, something that fills up the chinks of one's time. Then friendship is anything but friendship. It is mutual discovery, love, and meta finding expression. It is learning how to talk, learning how to bring out the best in each other, learning how to resolve conflicts and win trust. It is a storm and summer ease, sudden dislike and graceful apology. It is telling the truth and causing a ruckus. It is deciding not to withdraw. It is staying true to someone even when they take against you or move away. It is a common journey into the unknown. Then friendship is friendship again. Something in a sense extraordinarily ordinary, marked not so much by storm and fire, showers of love or vows of eternity, but by the steady heartbeat of friendship. Beautiful. Yeah, so those small acts, those everyday things, they accumulate and they're transformative. In a sense, they become a habit of self-transcendence. Love that phrase as well. I think that's from Maitreya Bandhu as well. Yeah, so I'm sure we can all think of how we do express our friendship. I've just noted down a couple of ways that I've received and given friendship. So a friend offering to come with me to a medical appointment that could be a bit tricky or challenging. A friend offering to walk the dogs for me when my time might be limited. A friend offering to drive all the way into town to shop and cook for me when I'm ill. A friend who often sends me beautiful handmade cards. Me taking a whole bunch of good quality DVDs over to a friend while she's confined to the house. Giving money to a friend. Sending a text just because my friend has come to mind to let them know that they're in my mind. A friend sending me a card with a photo from shared times together. A friend shares with me on Facebook a poem she thinks I will enjoy. So, I mean, the list is infinite. Yeah, so these ordinary acts accumulate and their effect is transformative. So if we engage in friendship, it will change us. And as we practice it, we gradually leave behind the selfing that weighs us down, the self-clinging, the fear, all that limits us and separates us from life. These are the fruits of friendship. And in creating and tending and nurturing our friendships, and in so building Sangha, we learn to love each other more and more deeply. And from this basis, we're able to reach out. That love touches others. It overflows into the world. We become individually and collectively a force for good in the world. Gradually, we become the good friend. And I'll just finish with a quote from Shantideva from The Way of the Bodhisattva. Whoever longs to rescue quickly both himself and others should practice the supreme mystery, exchange of self and other.
Wow, I feel wholly transported into another realm. That's fantastic, Sudrishti. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So evocative of ideas about, you know, very practical things we can do as friends, but also just how it's sort of the heart of life in a way, isn't it? It's about life, but it's also about transformation, our transforming ourselves and deciding to do that in very simple ways. And but I love the ideal within that, again, the ideal of the Sangha jewel coming alive within simple friendships. Feels so, it's both transporting but also something we can do right here and now and in changing ourselves. So another round of applause for Sudrishti. Thank you. So we'll be breaking for a lunch break. And if you've brought some food, you're welcome to put it out. If you'd like to go and grab some food and bring it back to share, that would be lovely as well. And then we plan at 1:30 to come together and celebrate this Sangha jewel, beautiful Sangha jewel, with a puja, a devotional ceremony, and which you're all, of course, welcome to come up to.